So it's my hope that in the course of the years you've had me preaching, you know that my general approach is to focus us on the great gentleness of the Lord, His great kindness, His desire to draw us to Himself. And so it's in that context that I actually want to spend time with this first sentence from the second reading. Bear your share of hardship for the gospel. We are really bad at that as American Catholics. And take your pick of sides within the church. The very fact that there are sides indicate that we really struggle to be told no. We really struggle to bear hardship. We struggle to put the gospel as the central reality, the organizing principle of our lives. Partially, this is because we live an incredibly comfortable life, all of us, relatively speaking, to the rest of the world. And so with that comes the danger of allowing the faith to be one more thing in our life rather than the thing. So we need this call to reorient ourselves to the hardships that we are bearing. And we may go, well, hey, look, Father, I don't need you to tell me that I need to pay more attention to my hardships. I can rattle them off for you right now. Absolutely, so could I. That's part of the issue. It's how we are facing those hardships. Often, we fall into a few common patterns. So like I just said, being quick to rattle them off, I'm great at complaining. I may still get the job done, may still bear that hardship, but boy, do I talk about it a lot. We've been culturally conditioned to complain. Just take stock of how it is that we speak throughout the day. How often have our words turned even to just simple complaints? Or we try and escape them. Maybe we sometimes think, if I just exercised my power, my connections, my money enough, I wouldn't have to deal with this thing. Or if I have to deal with it, then I'm going to find ways to escape and to numb out. Or we start looking at other hardships that other people have to deal with, and we play armchair spiritual director with those. We will happily talk about the problems in our country, the problems in our church, just so long as they don't come too close to home and force us to face the crosses that are in front of us. We are called to bear our share of hardship for the gospel. But why? What is happening in that dynamic? We too often cast Peter as this lovable fool. And so we go, oh, isn't it silly, right? He's here and he sees Jesus transfigured and Moses and Elijah. And so he thinks they should make three tents and just stay up there. In fact, Peter here is revealing himself as a faithful student of the Jewish scriptures. What happens when God reveals himself all throughout the Old Testament? The people build tents or tabernacles. He is going into the mode that he thinks is the limit of what God is going to give. So the right response is, okay, I need to build something that will contain God, that will fit the expectations that I have become used to. And so this is when then the glory of God, the Shekinah, God's presence, appears above them, beyond them, even beyond what they have already seen in Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. It's then that they fall to the ground, because this is now something new. This is beyond what they had expected or accounted for. We are called to bear our hardships because God has more that He desires to give to us. Our hardships so often emerge from shrinking God's vision of reality to suit us. We make ourselves the standard of reality rather than God. And so the hardship is the turning of our attention outward, the learning to orbit around a different center. An example that is just ready at hand these days, at least in my own world, is this whole process of journey in faith. But this is a dynamic that can be applied to so many other things. You know, it's easy to say, oh, there are other parishes that are out there that they just can't accept change. But at times I also hear the conversation going, hey, doesn't bother me because our parish still looks like it'll have Sunday Mass. Both wrong responses. Because this is a call from the Archbishop to allow things to be different, to not have our hands too tight on the wheel, saying, I know what this should look like. I know what works in parish life. I know what I want things to be. To do that is to actually set limits on what God might want to do. And even if we disagree with the whole process, with the outcome, and go, how could God possibly want X, Y, or Z? This is the mystery of God's providence, that He even allows things that are deeply distressing or displeasurable to us and brings good from them, good beyond our imagining. And so we keep going with what St. Paul says to Timothy, that the appearance of our Savior Christ Jesus destroyed death and brought life and immortality. So even as he is saying to Timothy and us, bear your share of hardship, he is already saying Jesus has overcome this. He has destroyed it and brought life and immortality. And he has done so precisely by going to death, going to the things that are hard or displeasing to us. This is how he can say, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. So Lent is, again, not a spiritual fitness test to see how tough we are and how much we can save ourselves. It is the call to orient ourselves to Jesus alone. Because when the apostles look up, there he is. All of the glory is gone. There is no visible Shekinah, but it's Jesus alone, and that is enough. Is that enough for us? Or will we choose to continue in the various places in our lives to complain, to attempt to control, to distract from our Lord standing there with the cross that is intended for us providentially? Or will we pivot our heart and see Him there? And in seeing Him, in receiving Him in the Eucharist, hear Him say to us, as He said to Peter, James, and John, rise, do not be afraid. We know that what comes next in the gospel is the descent to Jerusalem. And what they will see in the brutality of the cross is a far cry from the theophany that they saw at the top of the mountain. But what is on the other side, the resurrection, is not about containing God as they had been used to, but the unleashing of his life and the being joined to it, something that they could never have asked for or imagined. So it is with us in our hardships. Jesus meets us, remains with us, helps us carry our crosses, and brings us to realities we could never ask for or imagine, always telling us, rise up, do not be afraid.